Welcome to the Pearl of Great Price podcast, and thanks for joining us today. It's the 8th of March, and on this day in Christian history, we go back to the year 1983, and we travel to Orlando, Florida, where President Ronald Reagan, in an address to the National Association of Evangelicals, used the phrase evil empire to describe the Soviet Union. In what was seen as a significant escalation of the rhetoric around the Cold War. This became known as the Reagan Doctrine of Active Intervention, and it was shaping US foreign policy, replacing the previous Truman Doctrine of Containment. Harry S. Truman was the post-war president of the United States, serving from 1945 to 1953. Reagan had first used the phrase evil empire the year before in a speech at the British House of Commons, but this was the first time to a domestic audience, and opinions were split, with some considering it to be brilliant rhetoric. It was popularly accessible, and it had resonance through the contemporary film Star Wars. Others, including many within the international diplomatic community, denounced it as irresponsible bombast. But what did he actually say in Florida? Reagan said, "Yes, let us pray for the salvation of all those who live in that totalitarian darkness. Pray that they will discover the joy of knowing God. But until they do, let us be aware that while they preach the supremacy of the state, declaring its omnipotence over individual man and predicting its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth, they are the focus of evil in the modern world. So in your discussions of the nuclear freeze proposals, I urge you to beware of the temptation of pride, the temptation of blithely declaring yourself above it all and label both sides equally at fault, to ignore the facts of history and the aggressive impulses of an evil empire, to simply call the arms race a giant misunderstanding and thereby remove yourself from the struggle between right and wrong and good and evil." Ronald Reagan's presidential campaign had unified white evangelicals and fundamentalists in a way that hadn't been seen since the 1920s, and it helped to consolidate the Republican Party. It has since become the most dependable part of the Republican base in America, partly forged because of the anti-communist views that they held during the era of the Cold War, and it's often exploited by presidential candidates. It's also important to contextualize Reagan's speech to evangelicals as occurring at the same time as a surge in international and domestic protests against the United States and Soviet arms race. Reagan's opponents blame the administration for causing the largest increase in American military spending since the beginning of the Cold War, a policy that had swelled the nation's budget deficit. However, the Soviet economy ultimately collapsed in the late 1980s, ending decades of communist rule in Russia and Eastern Europe. What contributed to the collapse of the Soviet Empire partly was its own bloated defense spending. And today in Florida, Reagan made the case for deploying NATO nuclear-armed intermediate-range ballistic missiles in Western Europe as a response to the Soviets installing new nuclear-armed missiles in Eastern Europe. Eventually, these NATO missiles would be used as bargaining chips in arms talks with Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, who took office 2 years and 3 days after Reagan's speech. Together, they would agree to reduce nuclear arsenals. Intermediate and short-range nuclear missiles were eliminated. And in an interesting contemporary aside, a certain Donald J. Trump claims that he was in talks with the mid-level Reagan administration officials to facilitate these negotiations. Not all that Trump says holds up to scrutiny, of course, but it's certainly true that his uncle was an accomplished nuclear scientist who made him aware of the all-too-easy proliferation of nuclear weapons, and that he had read Strobe Talbot's history of the START talks, Deadly Gambits. Reagan's own religious upbringing was significant, with his mother exercising a formative influence. She was active and very influential in the local Disciples of Christ Church, often leading prayer meetings when the pastor was away, and was an adherent of the social gospel movement. See the pod of February the 26th for more about that. Her strong commitment to the church meant that the young Ronald became a Protestant Christian rather than a Roman Catholic like his Irish father. And President Reagan identified himself as a born-again Christian and was strongly influenced by his pastor, Behail Cleaver, who was also the father of Reagan's fiancée. These early experiences formed many of his political instincts, politically faith in Providence and associating America's mission with God's will, which fed into his geopolitics. That's all from the Pearl of Great Price today. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us tomorrow if you can, as we go all the way back to the year 320 and an incredible story of a group of Roman soldiers who were killed for their Christian faith in what was then Armenia. Visit our website for more information at www.pogp.net. And if you'd like to respond directly, then email the show on pogppod@gmail.com. Thank you to Kevin MacLeod for today's music, and thank you for joining us today. Have a lovely day wherever you are.